Good. I'm live. It always takes a while for people to arrive, so I will just tell everybody that I have viciously paused small streaming of Star Trek The Next Generation because I was actually worried about bandwidth and I don't want things to be a bit jumpy. So Small is probably downstairs wondering why the episode has just suddenly paused. But my view is that we should watch these episodes together anyway. I think that would be good daddy-child bonding time. I've got Bella because Bella's being a bit hyper today. So that duty has fallen to me. It's slightly side on because if I have it face on, I can't see your questions, which is crazy. So I hope that's all right. Today is a particularly good day because it involved seeing Joy Morrissey, who I don't know if you know, but she's an MP. She's the MP for Beaconsfield. And the world is made a better place whenever Joy Morrissey is in it. She's an absolute joy. Far too many people are far too rude about our politicians. Some of them are an absolute joy, and Joy is one of them. She just makes life better. We will deal with a number of topics. I've got it all laid out. I mean, the major event really is this allegation that Trump has somehow endorsed the Chagos deal. That doesn't matter. We don't, in law, have to give away the Chagos Islands. We don't, in law, have to give away any of our money. If Mr. Trump claps and says that's a marvelous thing to do, to give away your islands and give away your money, we still don't have to give away our islands and we don't have to give away our money. And I just can't believe the way the journalists have sort of dealt with this. I mean, the other one is Englishness, where as far as I'm concerned, they're just trying to be racist and offensive, because obviously, as you know, if you read the article, there are lots of different ways to use the word English. One of them, one of those ways, is ethnically English. You wouldn't deny anybody else an ethnic identity. Why on earth would you deny an ethnic identity to the English? It's just plain rude. Small has restarted Netflix. No. How is the connection? This is terrible. Just have a bandwidth war. Somebody quick tell me. Hillary, you're here. Tell me, is the bandwidth all right? I'm just going to have to keep watching Smalls. Smalls done it again! This is outrageous behaviour. Is it what even went so... But I'm not happy with this. This is defiance. I've always said that if you listen to the Constitution stuff, you know that I'm quite interested in how human states are arranged. And I've always said that parenthood is, you're given a baby, he's completely and utterly helpless. So that is, you are Mr. Totalitarian, you know, Uber ruler. You're then a dictatorship for a long time because you can't really... They need you to just be in charge. Then there's a bit of a rebellious phase and you stop being a dictatorship if you want, or I think if you want to be successful as a parent, you stop being a dictatorship at a certain point. Small's not there yet. We're still very much a dictatorship. And if you've done your job properly, they bring you back as a constitutional monarch. And that's your sort of role once they're adults, that they sort of, they nominally respect you and there is nominal deference, even though in practice you have no real power. And I think we can look at childhood through a constitutional lens. Of course, I like looking at everything through a constitutional lens. The other thing I'd like to say is that it is Petronella's husband's birthday. And it was lovely to see Hillary wishing him happy birthday. We all wish him a happy birthday because we are the lovelies. And that's, I'm proud that we're cutting out a little corner of the internet in which people are lovely. That's exactly what I want more than anything. That's just nice. Why would you not want to be nice? They tend to use the Constitution a lot. Stephen, well, I mean, I do, but I've basically become its custodian. They abuse it, I think. And the biggest abuse for me right now is this idea that Lord Hermer can tell people that there is a legal requirement to give away the Chagos Islands. I really find that absolutely shocking. I don't know how he sleeps at night, to be perfectly honest, because, you know, at the very best, that's really bad law. Just bad. It's just stupid. So I love to see Denise. And I should probably stop waffling and go go into questions, which I thought I'd start with Petronella because she said she's going to watch on catch up. So I thought that would be nice. She's also, and please don't take offense, but she's done a Hillary, and that she's asked loads of questions. Hillary actually didn't do a Hillary this week. I can only find one from Hillary, although there might be loads of them sort of strewn about the internet. I still have difficulties finding stuff on Substack. Still not great. Still bear with me mode. How can we stop the sale? Well, it's not even a sale, Jennifer, is it? Well, it's a giveaway with cash. I think legal action. Okay, I'll just deal with Chagos before I get into Petronella's questions. I think legal action needs to be taken. I spoke with Ross, Lord Kempsall, on Thursday, and I am very much, it must have been Wednesday, anyway, I'm very much of the view that somebody needs to do something. This idea which grew up that Mr. Trump is going to save us from ourselves, I think was always flawed, because perfectly honestly, if I was the Americans, I'd let us lose the islands and our money, because it's no skin off their nose, and then I would make sure we got them back. Because it's the American military base that matters. And if I ran America, I'd be like, yeah, if the UK is going to be completely bonkers, let's just take these out. So I'd never really expected Trump to sort of protect us from ourselves. It's not his job. And we shouldn't expect any foreign leader to protect us from ourselves. We should expect our own leaders to protect us. I think that we should take now legal action, which will at least delay things and make more noise about it. Again, we're returning to the idea that we actually need people to take positive action. So you need to know your MP and get used to talking to your MP. It's not a one-off thing, you know, and we need to form these groups, which I know both Denise and Hillary and others have done, of like-minded local people, and start just really, really, really pressuring them to actually do their job. This government won't last forever. He had another defection today, which is huge. I mean, the fact that Annalise Dodds, who was his shadow chancellor and who stayed with him despite being demoted as shadow chancellor, has gone, means that this is a very, very fractious government. And you can tell, and the issue is hilarious. So she's resigned because he's not giving enough of our money away. Which is obviously, I mean, that is, and he will know that the public really don't like giving our money away, particularly when we don't have any and we can't apparently afford to heat and warm pensioners. So I'm quietly hopeful that this government will collapse. I'm slightly worried that the Conservatives are not yet in a place to deal with that, or that anybody else is in a place to deal with that, but we shall see where we go. I don't think the bollard will last much longer. Right, anyway, enough waffle. On to Petronella's question. Stephen, I have a question for this coming Friday. I pay a fee for every month to Apple for their services, which I would assume is security. Now they've allowed Common Government to look at my data. Surely in breach of the contract to them. Yeah, I think they probably are. They'll have a term in there. I haven't read it, but there'll be a term in there that says something like we must comply with government legislation, which will get around this. But I think I was very surprised that Apple made this move. And I think it's an idea we'll return to here. I don't think necessarily we can take action against Apple about the security issue purely because they'll be able to hide behind the government. But anyway, Petronella had another question. Busy listening to Liz Truss, talked to Andrew Gold. I've met both of them. They're very nice. Mentioned Blair changed the constitution and gave judges power to make decisions outside of parliament. Yes, that's true. Why we saw the judge give the Garson family right. Well, yeah, that's definitely true. Can't remember which section in the constitution she mentioned. Is this why we see judges overrule parliamentary law in immigration cases? Yes. Forgive me, but yes, this is human rights law allows judges to effectively make political decisions. The Lady Chief Justice got very upset when somebody pointed that out, and the Lady Chief Justice demands the government appeal the decision. They're not, though. This is, and so we should all be able to criticise this in public. This is not, they're not gods. They're not living gods. So we need to be able to criticise things. And then Petronella's last point is about the Children's Society. And this is something I want to talk about a lot, or a lot more. So they are hailing a new offence to combat shoplifting. We don't need any more offences. Stop it. We don't need any laws. There's an idea I've talked about that it's performatively weak. It's pathetic. And we keep saying, every time something happens, we go, oh, there isn't a law against that. So if somebody shoplifts some cheese, we go, there's no law against cheese shoplifting. And somebody shoplifts some wine, we'll bring one in. And then there's a law, somebody shoplifts some wine, and we go, there's no law against wine shoplifting, only cheese shoplifting. This is pathetic. There are laws against everything already. We don't need anything anymore. What the Children's Society is specifically doing is trying to reduce the liability of children for their own actions. If you don't make a child liable for its own actions, you will raise a bad child. Okay. It's true. I made Small liable for Small's own actions from about 3.5, not in a particularly bad way. At 3.5, Small went round the room with a sucky yogurt, looked me in the eye, so there was a degree of knowledge, and flicked it on the walls. So of course I shut that down. I sent Small. I took the sucky yogurt away. I sent Small. I was obviously angry. I sat Small down on the step. Many, many, many years later, when Small has chickenpox, we reminisce about that because it's the last time I had to tell Small off. I don't spend my time telling Small off. When I get downstairs and see Small again, there won't be any problems. I mean, I can bet money right now that just nothing bad will have happened. Everything will be fine because we had rules. And rules, you know, are very, very important in life. What people do, what a certain type of political person does, is that they don't want there to be rules. They think rules are cruel. For reasons I don't fully understand, they think rules are cruel. And so the Children's Society doesn't want young criminals punished. At the same time, the people who come from this branch of politics always want to lower the voting age. So I really don't. You want to give your child more privileges, but you don't want your child to learn responsibility. I think that's what we call a recipe for disaster. I just think that is absolutely awful. I just don't think there's any. This is why I think a lot of the issues we currently face are tied to parenting. Human beings are not that complicated, and I just think we're parenting wrong. We've raised a generation who think that they can scream to get their own way, largely because they can. So stop that. It's not hard, and I just can't be clearer about this. You end up, I mean, I have a fantastic relationship with Small. Small is my world. I don't have to tell Small off. There's no need. This is all done. You know, I'm sure that there are going to be issues and we've got puberty to look forward to. But, you know, and I'm not saying I'm the best parent in the world at all. But rules make everything better. They make people feel safer. They're how you know you are safe. Small doesn't. I mean, we have some quite esoteric family beliefs. But they're all based around the idea of stopping Small being worried about monsters. So Small doesn't fear monsters, largely because Small has been told that monsters fear Daddy. And so because Small knows monsters are afraid of Daddy, not going to be a monster under Small's bed or in Small's, you know, cupboard, because they wouldn't dare. They're too scared of Daddy. And that's how we've done it in life. We have simple rules. Now, I wanted to talk more about rules and mental health and feeling good. It's a point that came up on Twitter with another lovely, who I'm sure must be a Substack person, because we just are attracting all the lovely that can come to us, that they felt that because the rules weren't clear, they were very concerned by that. And it's true. It's very concerning. Almost all of you will have experienced the utter terror of an invitation, although this may speak to years ago because we're all less formal now, but many of you will have experienced the utter terror, particularly if you're a man, of receiving an invitation to a party that says smart casual. What the hell does that mean? What is that? What is that? What does smart casual mean? I mean, literal, is that a tie or not a tie? Do I have to have a jacket? Is that a shirt? What is this? And that you receive an invitation to a party that simply says black tie. And we did this a lot at Oxford. You were in Oxford, you're in black tie at least once a week. And that was fine. I grew up working class. I got a really cheap secondhand black tie. That was fine. That was probably a good idea because, you know, I fell out of a window in mine. But it's another story. But at least we knew what it was. At least you know what it is. There's clarity when the party invite says black tie. And clarity of law brings mental calm. And uncertainty of law brings trouble, chaos, worry, anxiety. And really, that's something that we've allowed to happen, or something that has been done to us, where our laws have become so bloated and fat and confused that we're almost gibbering wrecks of anxiety as a result. And I would like to put that right. That's my main focus. I can see people are chatting in the chat. If it were bigger, I'd get involved more. I'm not being like Mr. Distant, whatever. It's just, for some reason, Substack give me an inch. So everybody old enough to remember inches, raise your hands. But they give me an inch. And if two people talk, then I've already lost the dude. So this is still all very experimental. Hopefully one day they'll let me do it on a computer and then I'll have it all. And I've got a big screen and I can see everything. So I'm not ignoring anyone. Samantha says, "Hi, Stephen. I'm appalled at police going back on allowing trans police to strip search women." So am I, Samantha. This should be an infringement of human rights. Yes, I think it is. They are not women. No, they're not. I would be arrested for severe resistance. Well, why not? I mean, we must fight back. I have some what I call old school transsexual friends, and they do not believe they are women. They're not women. And, you know, like one of them was just, I mean, I met one relatively recently and, you know, he just said, it was quite funny. He was like, "Oh, I've got a cold, so my voice might be lower." And I said, okay. And then we sat down, we got chatting, and then he just said, "I have to say, I'm not actually a woman." And I just went, "I know, that's fine. It's okay. But you're not dodgy. You're not trying to pretend you are. You're not scary. You're not a threat to children or women. So I don't mind saying that's fine." And that's my consent. The problem with the trans issue all along has been that it's forced consent. It's been telling people you have to pretend that people who are not women are women. Well, that's absolutely wrong. And people who are not women, I mean, my mates would not want to strip search women. I mean, that's not. That's not what an old school transsexual wants to do. And I don't understand why these people want to strip search women. Well, I probably do. But I mean, I would rather have a woman I cared about strip searched by a genuine man who knows he's a man, frankly, than one of these people. I think there will be legal challenges. And you see it in their behavior. They're obviously not decent. And we can say that, or I'm going to say that. I have no real worry. There's an idea that I have plot armor. I have armor because I'm bisexual. Well, if I do, I'd hate that. I think that's a stupid idea. But if I do, I'll use it. Graham Linehan is brilliant on this. There are a number of brilliant people who have stood up. JK, obviously. But men who identify as women should not be strip-searching women, ever. And I think the police who've allowed it will be challenged in law. In fact, I know they will. I know the people. They will challenge. And off they'll jolly well go. And the court case will go as the court case will go. I mean, it's not going to go another way. It's obvious. It's like Ofcom. Ofcom can't define the word impartial. It's Ofcom's major weakness. It's Achilles' heel. Keeps accusing people of breaking impartiality. And then you just go, and that is? They can't do it. Which, when... in the public world, which is very malleable and very compromise-based, it's very different from a court. A court is like running into a brick wall. They did lose to GB News, Hillary. That's largely why. Anyway, back to people's questions. Chris, hi, Stephen. Is it possible to draft a contract that political parties could sign, committing them to fill their electoral promises once they assume office? Thanks, Chris. Chris, yes, it's possible. I really don't recommend it because it would shift a vast amount of power over to the judge that was making the decision about whether or not said contract had been breached. Said judge would sit alone. They would have no jury. They would be tribunal of fact and law. That's a lot of power. And I'm old school Victorian. I think power corrupts humans, so I would not want a judge to have that power. I understand the problem, which is that political parties are not fulfilling their election promises. I think we can deal with that problem another way, i.e. through democracy, through arranging, through being more Denise, being more Hillary, getting local people, you know, talking to your MP, whether they like it or not, you know, getting in touch with your MP, being terribly polite so that they can never say that you're scary or blah, 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 blah. But just organising. Let's get democracy back. I think we need it. I was delighted to see a Twitter friend who's now applying to be a justice of the peace, a magistrate. Lovely. Let's get that back. Let's get the magistrates back. Let's get it all back. Let's get volunteers and public involvement and democracy, and let's push away this idea of experts. Push it away. It was never ours. It's not Aristotelian, which is what our... don't let people tell you that we don't have an intellectual basis. We do. We're based on free trade and Aristotelian thought. The idea of experts comes purely from Plato, the idea of concept of philosopher princes who will be... Everything will be great if a genius prince is a philosopher prince is running everything. It never is. It's a stupid idea. Never works. Right, Julie. Stephen, I know there are lots of worried people in our country. What I cannot understand is if something is bad, purposely destroying the country, surely to God there is some power to stop them. And if not, what do we do? I think that's what I've just said. We must use democracy and politics to fight back. We cannot ever rely on lawyers because lawyers are not reliable. You've seen them. You can see them. You can find them on Twitter. Find them on social media. Go and have a look at them and go and ask yourself, is this somebody I would trust to look after my interests voluntarily? I think we know the answer. Marie and Sandra and somebody else who I didn't spot because I'm rubbish at these things ask about Mike Amesbury. I think it's absolutely grotesque. I see Labour supporting criminal lawyers running around going, oh, it's perfectly normal. Like, well, if it's perfectly normal, it shouldn't be. Okay, I've never hit anybody in my life. That man punched a man right in his face. That could have killed him. He then continued to punch him once he'd fallen down. I'm an old school. I've mentioned before, I'm a great believer in the Arthurian legends and the nobility of knights. I mean, I'm an equity lawyer, for goodness sake. Of course, I'm interested in nobility and equitous acts. But you don't hit a man when he's down. I mean, Stephen doesn't hit any man, but I've always, it's like, you don't hit a woman. I mean, it's just like, these are just rules, aren't they? They're just things that you grow up knowing as a child. And his behaviour is utterly reprehensible. I think he should be more severely punished because he's a member of parliament. I have absolutely no problem with that. I have absolutely no problem with me being more severely punished if I did it, because I'm a barrister. I think people who are in positions of respectability who do bad things should be more punished than, you know, necessarily someone else. So I was absolutely horrified by his actions, absolutely horrified by the shortness of his first sentence, absolutely horrified to then see it reduced to suspended, and absolutely horrified to see how quickly it all happened. And if the criminal lot are going, the Labour supporting criminal lot are going around going, oh, this is perfectly fine, well, then the whole system's broken, mate. And I'm not happy with it. And I doubt any of you are. And I doubt the public are. And ultimately, they must answer to the public. This is not for them to make decisions. It's not for them to say, punching a man in the face, then punching him repeatedly whilst he is on the ground, is perfectly fine. That's not your call. That's a political decision. And that's for all of us. And if we, the majority of us, it only needs a majority, if the majority of us think actually punching a man in the face, then repeatedly punching him when he's on the floor is a bad thing, then society needs to reflect that and the system needs to reflect that. And if it can't or won't, then it needs sweeping change, really dramatic change. I'm getting fed up. I've said it on Martin Daubney's a couple of times now, because Martin's a fellow dad, so I know he absolutely agrees. I am fed up of the tiny sentences for people who have paedophilic images. I'm absolutely fed up of them. This is just grotesque. These are the types of people. I mean, I consider it an act of distinct civilization that I do not form a vigilante mob against such people. That is how noble I think I am. But the state needs to punish them and punish them properly. And the fact that they walk free is ridiculous. The fact that the social media posters are getting ridiculous amounts of time. I mean, I've done it on the Constitution podcast. I've talked about acts of indemnity. I've now raised this with certain other people. I think we need to really look at using Parliament in a much more muscular way. I'm really fed up with what has happened. I want control of sentencing returned to what the public expects. Now, that doesn't mean that's what Stephen thinks. It's not my ideas that have to win over anybody else's. It's all of our ideas. And if we all think that actually people in possession of paedophilic images need to go to prison, then they should, as long as we have a majority. And that's how we should run everything. And it's really been... You're really feeling the lack of democracy, or I'm really feeling the lack of it, and how we're not benefiting from its absence. We're supposed to make our lives, losing it, we're supposed to make our lives better. Well, I don't think it has. Michelle says, hi, Stephen, can you explain the need for a TV licence? I no longer watch the BBC or public broadcasting. I want to cancel mine, but I think you need one to watch live TV such as GB News. I think that's the position. So I have not looked at this, and I cannot and will not give legal advice via Substack anyway. But just as anecdotal knowledge, I looked at this about 20 years ago, when, as I understood it, you needed a TV license for internet streaming. I believe that law has actually been softened. But I would go away, look at the rules on TV licensing. Presumably, they have to tell you the truth. So even the BBC will presumably have to have something on its website that talks about how you can avoid paying the TV license. And a lot of people have suggested that if you don't have a physical television and just use a streaming device, as long as you don't stream BBC iPlayer, that you don't need or BBC Sounds, that you don't need a TV license. That may very well be true. It may very well not be true, but I would go away and research it if that's your position. Michelle, I totally understand. I really can't understand how the BBC has got to be what it is or where it is. I mean, they're possibly facing a police investigation. I don't understand this. It's the BBC. And so that I don't know what's going on with the BBC. I fully understand your position. Michelle did a Hillary. Poor old Hillary. And asked another question. Can Starmer's golden tax-free pension be repealed by the next government? Yes. Yes. And I love this type of question, most of all, because it's so easy. Can Parliament do? Yes. Can Parliament? Yes. Can Parliament? Yes. I remember they had me in. I completely, because I was in a rush, I completely forgot to take my sunglasses off. So they had me in to talk to them and I'm sat there like a, with a sunglasses on the top of my head. But I, it was a very easy, it was, I do not look flustered because I was in no way flustered. It is very easy to just keep saying, yes, can we do this? Yes. Because Parliament can do anything. So once you understand that Parliament can do basically anything, can Parliament do this? Pretty easy question, like the easy ones. So yes, they can. Whether they should or not, I think, is a question. I think we have every right to look at public sector pay and remuneration. We probably haven't looked at it. We haven't been included in it. Like sentencing, it's been something out of our hands. And given what's happening in the United States, do we have automatic belief that everything's been going on well? Well, no. We'd also be fundamentally naive if we did. So it's something that we can look at. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so it doesn't matter to spread conspiracies, but it's something that we can look at. Right, what's been going on in the chat? Yes, I'm very proud of Hillary for asking lots of questions. It's not a criticism, it's just a tease. I tease my dad terribly. I'm a tease. That's what we do. It's, if you're the more fond of somebody you are, the more likely you are to tease them. Daubney is a legend. He is a very good, strong dad figure. That's what, you know, I like. And what has been amazing throughout all of this is to find that James Dreyfus is also a very strong dad figure, even though he played the campest roles in 90s sitcoms. But he's a proper dad. He's, you know, and finding out who are the proper dads, the people who you would actually trust to look after kids, who, you know, push comes to shove. Sorry, but that is what happens. And that's not uncivilized. That's protecting children. Right. The last question is Hillary's, unless somebody wants to ask one in the chat, which is fine. But I thought I'd save Hillary, save the best to last. What the heck did we just witness tonight between Starmer and Trump? Another bromance. I wanted to Trump to dance all over that vile man's head. Chagos's go. It's not the job of the President of the United States to protect us from our own Prime Minister. It is our job to protect us from our own Prime Minister. The Prime Minister has quite clearly lost all rationality. I honestly don't understand how Lord Hermer can, with a straight face, give the advice that Chagos Islands must be given away. They clearly must not be given away. We are clearly betraying the Chagossian people. We are clearly paying money we don't have. And the entire thing is utterly, utterly ridiculous. We do not need President Trump to defend ourselves from ourselves. We need to take action. What he's doing, I never really know. I'm happy to come out and say, and because I don't think he'd find this offensive, I think it's a really bad idea to offend foreign leaders. It's something I try not to do. So I didn't want to offend Kamala Harris, didn't want to offend Donald Trump. Why the hell would we? It's not in our interest. It's never in our interest. Stay neutral. But President Trump, having been elected and having, I think, got a mild understanding of President Trump's character, he does do things deliberately chaotically in order to throw people off. So there's a very small chance that President Trump has praised the Chagos deal in public so that behind the door he can go, you're not doing it. Because now when Starmer comes back and says, oh, this deal isn't going to go ahead because of, you know, bollard, 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 nobody will suspect that President Trump told him not to, because President Trump has praised it. So, and that's diplomacy, and it's, you know, it's the one, it's a type of art I don't do. It's because my mind is too rigid and I prefer law. So I always take a pinch of salt with Donald Trump. I think that's what Nigel meant when he said, you know, no one should take him too literally. That doesn't mean I can predict him. I think he wants to be deliberately unpredictable. I think it's a position of diplomatic and negotiating power to be deliberately unpredictable. And I think he revels in that. And I think it does work. I think it's obvious. It makes him very, very powerful. We all knew what Biden would do. And that's the problem. I mean, in many ways, the problem of the so-called progressive left is that we know every idea they've ever had. You know, we could all talk to Dominic Grieve around the pub tonight. I wouldn't recommend it. I think we'd have a rubbish evening. But if we did, we know every single thought he's ever had. We know every view he has. They're all known. And when you become known, you become predictable. And once you're predictable, you're manipulatable and you're controllable. And I think Donald doesn't want to be predictable or controllable. And I don't think he likes Starmer. No, I think he was really rude about the suit. I think that really, and he did it to completely unfaze Starmer. And it's an obvious tactic. My best mate's mum used to do exactly the same thing, and I got on with her instantly because the minute she tried, the first thing she says is supposed to destabilize you, and I just laughed and hugged her. Just like, oh, Stephen is now, what? It's, you're supposed to be upset. I know. So keep eyes on Trump. I think ultimately he's our friend, and we must acknowledge and respect the special relationship. I have deep personal affection for Americans. My granny always did. And if you've watched enough of these, you always know that I follow my granny in most things. And I trust them more than anybody else. They have saved us twice. That is pretty kind. We did mildly burn down the White House. Don't mention that. But that, I think, should conclude today's waffle, which I will put up on Substack, unless anybody is saying anything in this little inch I get. Vance would make a good president. Yes, I think everybody's looking to Vance to succeed now. There's an idea that Trump can stand again, which I think is just wrong. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on the... Sandra, I only joined 5 minutes ago. Will I find it all afterwards? Yes, you will. Although, not I think all, there's an issue. So when I say goodbye and wave and go, it then says, do you want this uploaded to your Substack? To which I say, yes. And I noticed last week, it sort of cut the first 4-5 minutes off. So you'll miss the first 4-5 minutes. They're never particularly that interesting. The first minute is usually me just looking like the bollard because nobody's here, so why am I talking? But I hope that doesn't happen again. Well, I'm going to keep an eye on it. Substack is still working on all of this. It's still a work in progress. But yeah, JD Vance, yeah. Everybody have a lovely time and a lovely weekend. Small is here, and so I am joyously happy. We have to get up. We have to be out by 8:30 tomorrow. So hardly, you know, exciting Friday night for me. And then on Sunday, we will go to the pub for Sunday lunch with Bampar, and we will play Uno, and we will play another game that Small always chooses. It's always Small's choice. And that's what we'll do. So have a lovely weekend, everybody. There will be more content coming. Always more content. Take care. Bye.